what we have here, that's what we're learning the Ramban in the beginning of Parsha Nitzan, Vayelach, again. And as the Ramban writes here at the beginning of the Parsha, the purpose is, as the Pasuk says, to have the Jewish people enter the Bris, the idea being that this is a new generation. The first generation that had entered the Bris at Har Sinai was no longer here, and they had been replaced over the 40 years of the Golus Hamidbar by this new generation. And it was their time now, after having been reissued the Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, with everybody together over the past month, that Sefer Dvorim occurs from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until the death of Moshe Rabbeinu on Zion Adar a month and a week later. So this is the giving over the Torah, the assembly of the Jewish people, Aseres Hadibros, it's the story of the Jewish people, the brachos, the kolos, to create the bris, to create the covenant, and now we're at the consummation of that in the bris. The Rambam even goes so far as to posit v'yitochein. Yitochein means it's possible, but it's sort of like a compelling possibility. The Ramban suggests that the same way when the Jewish people entered the Bris at Har Sinai, there was a korban, and the blood was collected, and half of it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and half of it was sprinkled on the people. The Ramban says it's entirely possible that the same thing happened here, even though no mention of such an event occurred. But this is a redux of the Bris. The Bris is happening again, and so it is possible that the parameters and the methods are similar to that which happened before. Now, if we go on to Pasuk Yud Zayin, right, the Pasuk, which is already into the Parsha, it says, I have to tell you, there could be someone who Asher Levavei Poine Hayom Im Hashem Elokeinu, his heart is not quite with the program, it's turned away from Hashem our God. Isha, Mishpacha, Ishevet. So he says, I have to warn you. And the Ramban writes, Vatam lemer, anitzorech lahaviyam ba'olu v'shvu'ata b'bris hazayis, mi'yirosi ula niftelech tzaschem l'shikutze Mitzrayim kasher asisem be'egel. I have to bring you in an ola shvu'ah, with an oath, with warnings, at this time, because I'm afraid, maybe perhaps some of the hearts of you, of the people, have strayed, to go after the Shikutzei Mitzrayim, right? As the Pasuk says, Vatiwa Shikutzeihem Eskululehem, because that's what happened in the Egel. The Egel was a throwback to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, who worshipped the Egel, who worshipped the cow. Or the Shikutzei Amanu Moav, or perhaps to Amanu Moav, because you've been passing through their neighborhoods, and perhaps you have adopted something of theirs, like historically you did when you did the Pa'or, when you worshipped Pa'or. So that's what he's saying. I have to tell you this, lest your heart stray. And continues the Ramban, Ki bibris harishayinu shashas matan Torah lahayu sham alisu kolis. Note, that when Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, there were no warnings, there were no curses, there were no oaths. Hashem just gave us the Torah. He told us the mitzvahs. But here at this point, where the Jewish people perhaps could have been already taken somewhat by Avodah Zarah, so post-Egel, now there have to be Olos and Klolos. I want to mention that this Ramban goes together with the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Behar. Parshas Behar is also, as you know, usually, not always, but often, a double Parsha with Bechukosa. And the Ramban explains in the beginning of Parshas Behar, which it says, Vayidab Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai, and Rashi right away asks the question, famous question that even became a figure of speech and expression, Ma'inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. This is the mitzvah of Shmita. Why suddenly are we mentioning Har Sinai as the locale for the mitzvah of Shmita? Why suddenly? Why are we teaching about Shmita at Har Sinai when we're not even going into Eretz Yisrael yet, and there's no mitzvah of Shmita in the Midbar, there's no agriculture in the Midbar? The Ramban, recognizing the question, has a different approach. This is back in the beginning of Parshas Behar. And the Ramban sees Behar B'chukaisai as being a unit, and the Vayidab Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai at the beginning of Behar is going to the all the way to the end of B'chukaisai. And B'chukaisai, as you know, has the Olos and the Klolos of Sefer Vayikra. And we're saying that occurred at Har Sinai. And what this is doing is it's completing the Matan Torah. Eile Divrei HaBris, that's what it says. These are the bris that Hashem made with Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, were the Olos and the Klolos. So that's the substance of the bris. Just like here, the substance of the bris is strengthened by the Olos and the Klolos, by the warnings of the curses, and so on. There are the consequences. And the Ramban there considers two possibilities. One possibility is that what it says in Parshas B'chukai was part of the original deal. But then the Ramban suggests another possibility. Ubira Inyan. This is back in Parshas Bahar. I'm just reading you a little bit, and we'll supplement what we have here. Kibitchilas arboim ayam arishayim shaluchas arishayim is kasa maish v'seiv arbis haskodiv yashem v'skol ha-mishpatim ha-nemorim sham. He says, originally, at the beginning of the first 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer HaBris, what the Torah refers to as the Book of the Covenant, all the laws. He sprinkled the blood of the Bris. U'kshechotu be'egel, when we sin with the egel, and the luchais were broken, it's as if the original Bris was broken. Okay, so what the Ramban is doing is explaining that the Bris of Arvos Moav that we have here in Sefer Dvorim, in Parshas Nitzavim, is not Bris number 2. It's Bris number 3. Because generation number one had bris number one, which was lily white, innocent, Mamar Har Sinai. And then bris number two, luchos shnios, the second set of luchos, after the first were broken, the bris of tshuva, which of Yom Kippur, of the luchos shnios. Says the Ramban, by the first luchos, the Torah was written down, the bris, the dama bris, etc. But when the luchos were broken, that bris was gone. And when Hashem agreed and consented to give Moshe Rabbeinu the luchos shnios, He gave him a new bris. Remember, what's everybody knows the laning of a fast day? Hineo noichi kairis bris. Right now, I'm going to make a bris. What do you mean? That's after the egel. There's another bris. Okay, now one could read the psukim and say, okay, there's a specific bris on a specific thing. I'm only going to do miracles for Klal Yisrael, not for the Mesoilam. Right, if you learn Rashi over there. But the Ramban is saying, no, this is the bris. Because the bris had to be reinstated after it was violated at the Egel. And he goes over some of the significant mitzvahs. You see over there in Kisisa itself. And then he says, write this down. Ki al ki havar ve'krati bisos Yisrael. And writes the Ramban. V'rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachmer aleim b'bris hazeis ha'sheni sh'tiyah aleim b'olais v'klolais. V'sh'tiyah k'rishayin ha'klam mitzvahs ha'rishayinis. He says, but in the second bris, the warnings are introduced. And basically what the Ramban is saying is that the teichacha of the chukaisai is the way you make a bris with the people that have sinned. With the innocent Klal Yisrael of Har Sinai, Hashem said, I am Hashem your God. You shouldn't have other gods. You should keep Shabbos. There wasn't, if you do this, you get this. If you do that, you get that. None of that was there. It didn't have to be imposed. It wasn't era in that sense. It was the purity of the idea. But when Klal Yisrael failed and we went after the Maaseh HaEgel, so then he said, you know, I'm re-entering the bris, but I have to give them the kind of warnings that human beings respond to. You want the good stuff? Do the good things. You want to do the bad things? You get the bad stuff. So the Ramban says, the chukaisai was that bris, and he was being machmer aleihem. That's what the Ramban says is going on over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them about the bris, he's saying, I'm worried about you. You might have in your heart to be Eved Avodah Zarah. Pirush, meaning, says the Ramban, because, look, last time I learned, I saw that at the Maaseh HaEgel, people still had in their hearts from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, and so they went off. And then subsequent to the Egel, as a result, I gave it to them with warnings. So now I'm speaking to a new generation, but a generation who also could have been swayed by Mitzrayim and certainly could be swayed by their current neighbors, Amon u'Moav and Peor and everything. And so I'm giving it to you with Olos and Shavuos. That's what the Ramban says. Okay? Everybody okay? Good. It's an important Ramban. I like this. It's, you know, to realize that we move down. I mean, I'm not so happy that we move down, but to recognize that we move down from being able to have a bris without any consequences to a bris with consequences. But we've pointed out before that the first paragraph of Shema, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, has no consequences. V'hayom Shamaya Tishmu has consequences. There's two kinds of ways to connect. Continues the Ramban. Very, very important and very tough Ramban. Penyesh bochem, lest there is amongst you isha, a man or a woman or a family or a tribe, that their heart is turning away from Hashem to go serve other gods. Penyesh bochem, writes the Ramban, lest there is amongst you a shayresh, a root, that would be pyre reish velana, that would blossom into very, very bitter, bitter, bitter leaves, bitter plants. What does that mean? Writes the Ramban, very big deal. We're talking about someone who's already, their heart is already captured by Avodah Zarah. He believes in the Avodah Zarah today. Or so this first pshat of the Ramban, I'm sorry, I said it's harsh. The first pshat of the Ramban is that he says maybe you have someone asher levavei peineh hayoyim, maybe you have someone whose heart is already turned to avodah zarah, or maybe when you have shayresh peyresh v'lana, maybe you have someone you'd ask and they say, well, I'm not an avodah zarah, but inside there's something which will only come to the fore at some later date. So either one we have to speak to, and the Ramban goes on and he says, "V'ze al asher einenu poy hayoyim." The Ramban says this is the pshat in the pasuk which we said before, which is Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm not making the bris just with you; I'm making with those who are here and those who aren't yet here." Says the Ramban, "That's what we're talking about as well. There are those who are already; their hearts are after avodah zarah, and there also are those who they are fine right now, but in the future maybe their hearts." Or maybe the hearts of their children will go after avodah zarah. And remember, I'm thinking not just about the present, I'm thinking also about the future. And then the Ramban says, V'hizkir ha-shayresh, why does it mention the root? How do I make a bris with the coming generations? Technical problem. How do you make a bris with generations that are coming in the future? So we could be thinking the midrashim that speak about how all the souls came in. In fact, it's this pasuk, remarkably, even though it's not at Har Sinai, that says that all the souls were there. But the Ramban speaks like a halachist, and he discusses these things as well in Shas and Mishpat HaChirim and other places. The Ramban says, how do you make a bris with those who are there in the future? Because you made a bris with their parents. And their parents accepted it as sort of a national undertaking. And therefore their children come in and they are bound by whatever their parents undertook. Right? That's how it works. So says Rabban, I'm speaking to the shayresh of who's going to come in the future. And that's what binds the people who are going to come in the future. That's how this whole thing works. But continues the Ramban, and here's the hard part. He says, from a sweet root will not come out something bitter. Someone whose heart is complete with Hashem, and he had no thoughts of avodah zarah, he won't have a child who will acknowledge it. In other words, says the Ramban, he's looking at them now, and he's saying, there will be here somehow a shayresh, peyresh, velana, because if something's going to come out later, it's because there's a little cloudy, shady spot there in the heart of the person right now. Not a simple statement. And the Ramban himself acknowledges that it's not a simple statement. He doesn't explain, but he acknowledges. He says, "Al tiksha alai bazem and akosu v'ahilid ben poritz." Don't ask me from the pasuk in Yecheskel, where it speaks about a person who will be a great tzaddik, v'asa mishpat utztaka, but then he has a child who's not as big a tzaddik. Says Ramban, "Don't ask me ki emes hadavar v'soyd gadol leuchal afarish bo." It's true. There's a great secret. I can't explain it. I can't explain that clearly. So, you know, one doesn't draw conclusions from anything. But what the Ramban is teaching us is something very, very important, with something which is known and borne out, which is that, you know, we are people through and through. And while sometimes people are able to exercise different kinds of self-control, but there are still things going on inside of us. And very, very often those things we sometimes see in our children. We sometimes see them, you know, in our children because it's somehow in there inside of us, or sometimes because as much as we exercise self-control, but the things which we're keeping under the surface don't always remain completely invisible under the surface. And they do come across to people who live with us. Says the Ramban, you know, this is something for us, and to purify it would be a big thing. It would seem to me, and it suggests to once, that that's an interesting piece in the next parsha, which is also this week's parsha, Parshas Vayelech. In Parshas Vayelech, we'll have a pasuk. Hopefully, we'll have a chance to get up to it because there's a very important Ramban there. But the pasuk says, "Umol Hashem elekecha eslevavcha veslevav zarecha." Hashem will uncover your heart and the heart of your children. Now, that is a pasuk about tshuva, about the uncovering of the heart from its, that which clouds it and makes it make wrong decisions. Ramban will write, we'll see, Mirtz Hashem will have a bitul yetzer hara, getting rid of even the yetzer hara, even the inclination to do bad. But it's, as the Chazal say, habol letar mesayinai say, a person's coming to do tshuva, Hashem will help him and will uncover his heart. And we say it stands for Elul. Right? It's one of the places where we say it's Rosh Teves Elul. Why? What does it say? Es levavcha ve es levav. Your heart and the heart of. So I have a very simple question. Ich bin a poshati. If there was a pasuk about Elul, I would have thought if Rosh Teves Elul, it would be Umol Hashem alikecha es levavcha. That Hashem uncovers your heart. That should be the Rosh Teves of Elul. Eslevavcha veslevav, your heart and the hearts of. Why is that the Rosh Tevis? I mean, I understand that's where it says Aleph Lam et Vav Lam, and I understand that. But if it's meaningful, it's like the middle of a sentence. But in a certain sense, that's a very important beginning of a sentence. Because what that pasuk says is, your heart to the heart of your children. In other words, the level of the purity of the tshuva that the pasuk is describing is such that we won't have this issue that we describe over here. That there won't be the shayrish pereresh v'lam. Over here, we're talking about a person who raises up his hand and says, I agree with the bris, I accept the bris. And he may not even be a liar, because it's not the person that right now is borech v'lvava. It's the person who is okay right now. But there's something turning inside. And that could end up coming out not so good in the future. Eslevavcha veslevav is the ultimate purity. Is the ultimate purity. And again, this is not simple matters. Say this for ourselves to some degree as our best effort in ever trying to educate us to be as through and through as we possibly can be. Very powerful and very, very significant.
You have to afford almost being self-evident that it logically can't be. I mean, you don't have to start meeting her. I mean, Avram Miriam yourself, Yaakov.
Yeah.
And then you don't even have to consider, well, there's a little piece of deer, but like everybody came from the Shvatim. So, like, I mean, how does it even logically begin to make sense?
You know, people can. You're saying if it's necessarily the case, then nobody could have introduced anything, you know, past Yaakov Avinu. Good. No, very, very good. Very good. There's no question. There's no question, as the Ramban says, you know, you could have the person who says it's Tako Mishpat, Fahilid Ben Poritz, it's not completely there. But there could be. There could be. You know, it's enough that it could be. The Ramban uses strong language, but your point is a very, very good point. Your point is a very good point.
So the Ramban understands the pasuk that if somebody, Rahman al-Hassan, has a son that goes off the derech, or has an evil son, he has to take part of the blame?
He says that could, it could be, because the person's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, but he's saying we would realize that sometimes the things which aren't completely resolved do express themselves eventually in bolder colors in the future. Again, this is not a partial thing that we should be able to say, oh, from this we see that anybody who's this Nistorim Darkei Hashem. But in this context, the Ramban was worrying about a person trying to be, not recognize that there's something in there which could pose problems later. Okay, let's go a little further. The next section in the Ramban, the next pasuk, also brings an unusual expression. Here we have Shayrish Peir Reish Velana. There we have Leman Tzifos Harava Es Hatzmeya. Right, so again, the pasuk here is saying, he'll say, I'm going to be okay, I'll do what I want, whatever my heart pushes me to do, I will do. Leman sefois harava es tzmeya, to add the rava is the satisfied with the tzmeya, with the thirsty. What does this mean? Like Rashi says, a person does averos b'shogeg, as if they're intoxicated, that's a tzmeya, they do them on purpose. So we'll punish him for the shagigim together with the mezidim. Once he's punished for the mezidim, for the liver, the Ramban writes something over here, which is important, psychological, and the way the Yetzer Hara works. He says what the person will be doing over here is he will be adding that which he is satisfied about to that which he is thirsty for. And he explains as follows. He says, we know that nefesh ha'adam harava einenu misavel edvarim haroim lo. A soul which is satisfied does not seek things which aren't good for it. Doesn't have a yetzer hara for things which aren't good for it. The thirsty soul, and we're not talking about the lofty soul, we're talking about the soul of life, or just physical life. That soul desires all kinds of things. All kinds of things. But he says that if you follow those things for which you are thirsty, you will end up also pursuing those things which you weren't thirsty for to begin with. Because the way the thing works, right, writes the Ramban, listen to this, listen to these words. Ki amisav lezimas hanoshim hayofes, a person who has a desire for beautiful women, kishi yeshotuf bezimasa, when he becomes saturated in that, to be able to have a love ala zohar vala behema, he'll seek new frontiers. And he'll have a desire for males. He'll have a desire for bestiality. Once upon a time, you might have asked them, they'll say, well, what's that? But as the desire is fed, so it actually, again, will always seek new frontiers. That's what the Ramban says, be careful. In the indulgence of desire, this is the way it works. There is some kind of a snowball effect which occurs. And he says that in a certain sense, its own shayresh peira reish velana. It's something which blossoms into something which is much bigger. And that's his understanding. And of sfeis harava satsmeya, we find ourselves sometimes moving along to other things. And while none of it is completely new, but you have a sense sometimes that in a society certain things blossom. Even things which might have been there, and so were always those who were tzmeya, were always those for whom it was a thirst. But sometimes we find that one thing adds to another, grows to another. And the growing indulgence of desires leads to ever expanding frontiers of desire. That's something which seems quite observable in our desire fueled society. Now, let's move ahead here. I'm sorry, I said it was Vayelech, it's not Vayelech. It's here in the end of Parshas Nitzavim. Mumol Hashem Elokechas Levavcha. Perek Lamed Pasuk Vov. Hashem will uncover your heart and the heart of your children. So the Ramban the Ramban here is worth reading inside. Okay, starting from the second line. The first line we said before, Balatar Messiah, he promises, Shatoshavei Lova Chalavavcha V'yasor Escha, you will return to Hashem with all your heart and He will help you. This Ramban in Vayelech is reminiscent of and repeating really an idea which the Ramban says in Parshas Bereishis. Those of us who are learning together Parshas Bereishis, but even the theme struck here by the Ramban will be very familiar. Sha'aymar, ki mizman habriya haisa rishus biyad adam lases kirtzayne tzadikai rasha, v'chol zman ha'tayra kein. From the time of creation, man has the ability to choose to be righteous or not. Bechira. And throughout the time of the Torah, that's the case. If you don't have a choice, you don't get rewarded for doing good and you don't get punished for doing bad. You had no choice. But in the days of the Moshiach, which he understands this as referring to, this is the time of the Tshuva of Klal Yisrael, then good choices will come naturally. There will be no desire for the negative. Says the Ramban, that's what it means. That's the uncovering of the heart that's referred to here. Desire is something which covers the heart. And the uncovering of the heart is again, that he won't desire and he won't covet. At that time, man will revert to be as man was before the sin. He did naturally that which was appropriate. He didn't have desire for this thing and the opposite. As I explained in Seder Bereishis, says the Ramban, Adam Harishon, before he sinned, remember what he says there? He was true to the task. Just like the sun and moon do their thing without deviating, the human being would have done his thing without deviating. What Chet did, what eating from the Eitz Hadas did, it introduced into him desire for one thing or another, for something or its opposite. He lost the pure and unbiased objectivity that he previously had had. And liyamayis hamashiach, the uncovering of the heart, is returning back to that. Now, everyone knows that there's an inherent problem with this Ramban, almost an inherent contradiction within the words of the Ramban. What's the inherent problem and what's the inherent contradiction? The inherent problem is, well, if Adam Arishon didn't have Bechira, so then why did he sin? So we understand that somehow wasn't inside of him, as the expression is found in the Rishonim and made famous by Rav Dessler, right? That it's not the Yetzirah inside of him. He needed a snake. I don't know about you guys. I don't need a snake, right? So he needed something from the outside to draw him towards Chet. But internally, it was not there. The other thing which is interesting is that the Ramban writes that from the beginning of the Bria, this is the way it was. There was always free choice for a person. And then he writes, but in Gan Eden, he did naturally that which he was supposed to do. So again, there was free choice, but there wasn't the tension of free choice the way we experience it now. So this is generally what he says. But then the Ramban goes on, and he adds beautiful references to this idea that the same way the person was of pure heart and of single mind before the Chet, so what's described here in the Pasuk, which is that at the end of days, when Klal Yisrael does tshuva, Hashem will restore us to those beautiful, clear, just being with Hashem. He says this is alluded to in many places. Listen to what he cites. Yirmiyo. Days will come and I will make a new covenant, another one, with the Jewish people. Not like the one I made with their forefathers. This bris, I'm going to put my Torah inside of them. I'm going to inscribe it upon their hearts. What does that mean, says the Ramban? This means that we won't have a drive in our heart to go in another direction. The Torah will be in our heart. asois halev v'tivay maseyu haroi. And he says that's why the pasuk goes on and it says v'lo yomadu aydish esrei vishen sechiv lemer du es Hashem ki kulam yedvesim mekadam adam. People won't have to teach each other know Hashem. Everyone will know me from the youngest to the oldest. Says the Ramban. 1 second. Isn't Yetzer Lev HaOdom Rami Ne'urav, the Yetzer Rab, difficult from the youth of a person? So you have to teach them. No, but then you won't have to teach them because there won't be a Yetzer Hara. Did Adam Arishain have Chinuch? No, you think there was tuition payments in Gan Eden? It wouldn't have been Gan Eden if there were tuition payments. Right? So therefore, says the Gemara, says the Ramban, there was none of that because you only have to teach someone to overcome their drives. There was no drive to overcome. He brings Yecheskel. You'll have a Lev Chadosh. Ruach Chadosh etin b'chem. Al mega asher b'chukais etelechu. That's what the Raman says. All of this is the case. And that's what Chazal mean when they say Ha'olam Abba or Yemais HaMashiach Le'yibem Le'ischus V'le'chayva. The person will not have merit or guilt because we won't be making choices. We'll already be on the straight and clear home stretch of the highway, just inclined to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay, so that's what the Ramban sees here as the ultimate goal of the purification of the heart. V'taher libeinu v'avda chaveras. Okay, good? Everybody cool? Great.
And
you might say Mashiach, yes. And you might say Mashiach, yes. Ramban has a very different perception of that, of that time than the Ramban. Ki a mitzvah azos. Okay, we have a famous pasuk. The mitzvah that I'm giving you today, it's not far away from you, it's not distant, it's not in the heavens, you should say, you should go up to the heavens again for me, it's not over the seas, you should say, it's close to you. Ma'ay, b'ficha v'vavcha l'asos. What is ha mitzvah azos? Oh. So you're saying, tshuva, tshuva, that's the Ramban. There's a different pshat. Rashi, Chazal, mitzvah azos is referring to the entirety of the Torah. The Torah isn't Hashemayim, right? The famous Gemara, Leib Hashemayim. What was that referring to? It wasn't referring to tshuva. It was a machlokes about Tanurei Shalachnoi, about the Tara of a klicheres that gets cut in pieces and gets then sand pasted together. The Torah is not in Shemayim anymore. That's one. Says the Rabbanu, HaMitzvah Azois is tshuva. Previously in the parsha it said, V'shavta ad Hashem alaykecha, you'll do tshuva. V'shamata b'kailai. Says the Ramban, that's an allusion to the mitzvah of tshuva. And there are a couple of very significant things which are found here in this little paragraph of the Ramban in Pasuk Yudalef. One is what I just said to you, that the Ramban says, v'shavta ad Hashem alaykecha is a mitzvah. But on the other hand, there's a different way to read v'shavta ad Hashem alaykecha. And what's that? It's a narrative. You will return to Hashem. Not you must return to Hashem, but you will return to Hashem. It's not a mitzvah, but rather a prediction, or what we would call a haftocha, a promise. The Rambam says that it's a promise in Hilchos Tshuva. The Ramban, earlier, at the end of Parshas Kisavo, said that it's a promise. He says that it's a promise. He says that the Teichach of Kisavo goes into Parshas Nitzavim. There's no happy ending in Parshas Kisavo. It's about the second Beis HaMikdash, as we discussed last week. But it continues on into Parshas Nitzavim, where we have the promised redemption through Klal Yisrael doing tshuva. The Ramban over here, where he writes that it's a mitzvah, he says, but the Pasuk says it b'loshen b'noini. B'loshen b'noini means median language. What that means is it's ambiguous. It says it as a commandment, but also says it as a narrative. You know where else the Ramban said that? In Parshas Shoftim, by the appointment of a king. You're going to come to the land and you will say, let me place upon myself a king. Says the Ramban, it's a mitzvah, or it's telling a story about what's going to happen. You know, there's a debate whether making a king is a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah? Or it's just, this is the way it's going to go. So Ramban says it's a mitzvah, but it says it b'loshen b'noini to tell you this is the way the story is going to unfold. So the Ramban, in a similar way, you have to look over there to see what he says there, and hear what he says here, but he says that to some degree, it's both. It's a mitzvah, and it's a haftach, and a promise. And the Ramban, another beautiful thing that the Ramban says in this paragraph is, it says this matter is close to you, b'ficha u'bilvavcha la'asaisai. It's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Says the Ramban, what are the three components of tshuva? Vidui is b'ficha. You confess with your mouth. Charata, regret, is bilvavcha, is in your heart. La'asaisai, to do it, is aziva sachet, kabbalah la'asid, is changing your actions for the better. And that's how we read this pasuk, as incorporating the three major components of tshuva. Beautiful Ramban. Onward ho, vayelach. The Ramban goes to some degree with the approach of the Ibn Ezra at the beginning of Parshas Vayelach. But what's the problem? We're just talking about Simin Chamar, for those of you who were here. What's the problem with Vayelach Moshe? And Moshe went, where did he go? Where'd he go? I mean, he's been standing talking to these people for a month. Where did he go? What happened? So Ramban says, well, it could well be that after he made the bris in Parshas Nitzavim, the pasuk doesn't report it, but they disbanded and everybody went to their own place. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? He says, as the Ibn Ezra says, he went to them. And the reason why he went to them is l'chabdom, Ramban writes, to honor them. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say goodbye. The Ibn Ezra says it in a little bit of a different language. He says he was going to calm them. They were afraid. Moshe Rabbeinu was leaving. So Moshe Rabbeinu went, not door to door, but tribe to tribe. He said, it's going to be okay. You know, Yeshua is going to lead you. He's great. Right? He's going to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with them. And that was what he was doing. That was what he was doing. Okay, that's what the Ramban says. He goes on to some other things here in the first pasuk. But I would like to take you, in the time that we have left here today, to a very important exchange in the Ramban, in pasuk Yud Zayin and pasuk Yud Ches, of what we have over here in Parshas Vayelech. The pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I'm going to die, he says, and the Kam Amazem, this nation is going to arise, and they're going to go after the Elohei Nechar Ha'aretz, the gods of Nechar Ha'aretz. So maybe that means the nations of the land, or as Ramban learns, the gods who are foreign to this land. They'll leave me, they'll abandon my bris, and all kinds of difficulties will befall the people. And then what does the pasuk say? V'amar b'yemahu, and the people will say on that day, Halei al kiyena leikai bekirbi mitzoni arayis eile. Oy, because God is not in our midst, that's why we have all these difficulties. And what does the pasuk then say? V'anechi haster astir pone b'yemahu, and I will hide, surely I will hide my face from them on that day for all the bad that they have done because they turned to other gods. What's the problem that everybody has in this pasuk? They just did a very nice tshuva. They said, God's not in our midst. That's why this happened. So why does Hashem come back and punish them further? Right? There's Hester Ponim before, but then, because God's not in our midst, they realize. So what's going on? So Ramban addresses this in two components. And it's very, very chosh of a piece on the Ramban. This, again, is a classic question. All kinds of mafarshim speak about it. As you might remember, I said over something very, very nice from the Malbim that Rav Teichfeld said in one of his drushes, said on Tisha B'Av, said about this. It's just Hasri Astri Ponei Bayemahu. They won't be able to see my face. I'll be seeing them. I'll be seeing them, but they just won't be able to see me. But back to the ranch. The Ramban says two things. First of all, he notes that saying Al Kein Elikai Bekiri Einenu Vidui Gomur, it's not a full confession. They haven't done a Vidui Gomur. They recognize they're at fault, but it's not a Vidui Gomur, and that's why they're still suffering. Now, what constitutes a vidui gomur, we'll have to see. Continues the Ramban. So that's why they continue to suffer. But listen to what he says. Let's be medayik in the pasuk. You might say, if the Jewish people already are having these thoughts of regret and realizing, recognizing that they have these problems because Hashem isn't in their midst, maybe Hashem should reach out and with kindness save them. They already denied Avodah Zarah. As it says, I judge you for having said, I haven't sinned. And here the Jewish people aren't in denial. Says the Ramban, that's why the Pasuk says, I will hide surely my face from you. I'll call a roa asher also kipon elohim acherim. Since the sin was so grave, he will still hide his face from them. However, says the Ramban, it's better than before. Haster Aster, you might think it's worse than before, right? But says the Ramban, no, it's better than before. Because what did it say in the Pasuk before? Before it said, I'll hide my face from them. They'll be consumed. They will be found by all kinds of terrible things and difficulties. And now all it says is, I'm just going to hide my face from them. Says the Ramban, the first time Hashem hid any of his compassion, and that's why we suffered so greatly. Mitzurais Rabbis Vitzorais. But this time, it's just that Hashem is hiding Pnei Rachmav. Shiyu behester Pnei HaGu'ula. It's just that Hashem hides the Gu'ula. He doesn't say that we'll suffer. He just says that we won't have the Gu'ula. We won't see His face. The Yamdu behaftachas Pnei Rachmav will stand with the promise of His Rachmim, which is that, don't worry, I'm not disdaining you. Until the charata, that sort of halfway regret that we said before, turns into a tshuva shlema, as was said before, v'shafta ad Hashem alekecha v'shamata v'kara. So I would like to tell you what I think the Ramban means. And the other Mefarshim say it this way. They said, God is not in our midst. If God is not in our midst, you can't return to Him. Oh, you can recognize that you abandon His principles. You can abandon the principles of abandonment, but you can't return to Hashem. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha means you have to come up to Hashem. How do you say vidli? You don't say, I did bad things. You say, Ana Hashem, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I sinned to you. You have to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael regretted, but they feel absence of God. Until they turn towards God, it's not complete. But now we can even understand much better the specific two stages of completeness. We're bad, we get bad, Leolino. Rois Ravis Vitzaris. When we realize that we did bad and we express regret and we stop serving our God, we stop getting bad. But what's Geula? Geula is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still experience the Hastoras Pnei. Hastoras Pnei HaGu'ula is not Tzaras. You could do the right thing and still not have Gilui Pnei HaGu'ula if you don't look HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face. If you don't say Ana Hashem. If you don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the two stages of Gula. Those are the two stages of Tshuva. Kafi Shabir HaRab. Be well. I don't know. Next Wednesday night is Rosh Hashanah. Next Wednesday night is super. I don't know. We'll have to see. Super. But it's been a pleasure.
It seems to me that the scope of